World-renowned speaker, CEO of Miracle Channel, and senior pastor of one of Canada's fastest-growing churches, Leon Fontaine is passionate about teaching you how to tap into the incredible power of Holy Spirit. Now, from one of our Canadian studios, here's Leon Fontaine.
Hey, everybody, it is so good to have you with me today. The topic I want to dive in today is going to make you think a little bit, so I hope you got some time to sit down. I want to talk today about how you were created. And so many people think they get it because my doctor knows this, my psychologist knows this. And I spent 7 years working in a hospital as a paramedic. I worked in the ORs, helping out the OR teams, resus rooms, etc. And over the last 40 years, I've been in helping with pastoral counseling in church and reading so much about what psychology thinks. And I thank God for all the advances in every one of those areas. But every one of the brilliant people I would talk to in those sciences just say there's just so much we don't know. And it is so true, because your five senses, the way that we handle ourselves in this world, is where our sciences come from. And so they're beautiful, they're brilliant. I love the fact that I can see colors and shapes, and my grandkids and my wife, and I just love the fact I can hear beautiful music and I can solve problems with reasoning. He's created a beautiful world. But the problem with us as believers is we have forgotten some areas about his workmanship. Let me read you this verse and hang in there as we take a look at something. It says, "For we are his workmanship." Workmanship. So Ford has made cars. Apple has made computers. NASA has made rocket ships. We're all blown away by these things made by a human man or a team of men using their five senses, things that are measurable to the five senses. But then it says, but we as human beings, we are God's workmanship. He's not just talking about like another animal. He's talking about he has designed us, and we are a three-part being. And even those, we don't understand each of the parts. We kind of have a glimpse of what the soul is, which is kind of our thinking, our emotions, our imagination, our memory, our spirit, which is who, you know, where Jesus resides when you become born again. Then our physical body and all the intricate, gorgeous things that it does. And they all seem to overlap, and they do. As a believer, you can have a physical problem that affects your soul, and it affects your spirit if you let it. Or you can have a spiritual problem that affects your soul and your body. Or you can have a soul problem in your emotions and stuff that'll affect you in your... We are this complex being, and we're designed to be like God and to succeed in amazing ways, but we're never going to succeed just in the five senses. So what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we touch, those are the five senses that we determine reality. Those are the five senses that we would determine what is right and wrong, what is possible and impossible. And yet, every culture, when you go back and today, all this New Age movement, and everybody seems to know, and they've kind of clicked into something that they can't explain. They'll call it a gut feeling. They'll say something miraculous happened, and they don't know how they did it. They don't know how they caused it. They don't know why it happened. They'll just attribute it to, well, God did it. And then, of course, God does some things and doesn't do other things, and that's wrong. God has given us all things, and he's created you, this amazing being. You are his workmanship. And it says we're created in Christ Jesus. So the only way the rest of you is going to work, other than your five senses, is that you are in Christ, born again, and the Spirit of God comes alive in your spirits. And then it says you're going to do good works. Good works? What do you mean by good works? You mean walking someone across the street or delivering food to that locked-in mom? Or what? No, no. There's no way that God created to do things that are so average and nothing that it would barely take any time to do it. He's talking here about being created by God. The second that you know who has created you, you get an idea of the brilliance in the creation. And so we're just so far below what you can do when you learn the principles, the software programs in God's word and how they work. Now, if all we do is go, well, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, which was just Job in his frustration, which isn't even true. God's not taking stuff away from you. But if you take a look at this, you're going to understand that we live in a world that it's not just, well, if it happens, it's God. If it doesn't happen, it's God. So God is in control, which the Bible never says. He is in control of some very big timelines. He's in control of the universe. He's in control of a lot of things, but he's not in control of you. He gave you a sovereignty of your own, and you can deny him or accept him. You can obey him or disobey him. You can follow his paths or make your own. Everything has consequences, all the good things and all the bad things. They have consequences. And even if you're not caught, there's consequences on your own body, in your conscience, and in your soul that affect your ability to have faith and do relationships. So when we look at God and we say, you are God's workmanship, I want to zero in on this. There is another level, a central part of you called the hidden man of the heart. This hidden man of the heart is where you need to learn to persuade your heart with God's word, and then it will begin to work and create a life that does good works in your life and in other people's lives, if they'll let you, where it can be supernatural. Now, the word miracle is hard to use because, again, people think a miracle is God that does something or God doesn't do something. So when they pray and nothing happens, it doesn't even enter their mind that prayer could be us learning to work with principles and forces that God's already set in place. Wouldn't that be awful if we didn't know what made a jet go in the air? And so on the runway, every time you take off, everybody bows their head and says, Father, today we pray that as we rocket down this runway, that you will let this jet fly. And when it doesn't and it crashes, well, it's God. And if it flies, it's God. But no, the actual laws and principles that govern the physical world must be learned and obeyed. Did you know there is the same thing in the spirit world? There is the same thing that we can learn to obey certain principles of grace, of faith, of righteousness, of words, of spoken words that literally govern all the worlds. And as you look at that we are his workmanship, Christians just have never really understood how phenomenally beautiful, powerful, amazing you were made. Now, right away, if you go, oh, Leon, don't say that. Well, then you're calling God down because you were made in the likeness and the image of God. You were made to look like him, sound like him, act like him. You were made to function like him. So when you understand that God spoke the worlds into existence with faith, you have faith. We have the same kind of faith once Jesus is inside of us. And people say, are you trying to say that you're God, Leon? No, I'm not trying to say I'm God. I'm saying that God, the Lord, the master of the universe, that he created me because he wanted fellowship. He wanted to talk and laugh and visit and hang out. He wanted a family. And so he's not going to create a robot. And we've got to get our eyes off of all this religious jargon that makes you think that you're just nothing and nobody. No, God created the human race because he's so in love with you. And he has made you a special way. And you've only learned to be a toddler. We have only learned to be toddlers in our ability to create, figure things out, make things, but there is a level of supernatural power that doesn't happen if God decides it does, and if God doesn't decide it does. In Matthew, in two different chapters, it says the same thing, that what is allowed in this world and what isn't allowed in this world has been given to the human race. It says, what you bind is bound, what you loose is loosed. And the Bible teaches us that we must learn to bind what is bound in heaven and loose what is loosed in heaven. It even shows us how to use this authority and the power that we've been given. But most people don't know how to establish their heart. Now, the heart is a deeper part of you. And it is just this incredible central part where your identity is. It's affected by your mind. It's affected by your spirit. And there are continual teachings by Jesus and in the Old Testament and the New on what to do with your heart, because your heart is the autopilot of your future. Your heart is what determines will something supernatural happen, or something outside of reasoning, outside of medical doctors, outside of psychiatric help, outside of mechanical help, agricultural help. There is other world. There's another world out there.
We'll be right back with more from Leon Fontaine.
Who is Holy Spirit to you? Many Christians are unaware of the role Holy Spirit plays in their day-to-day lives. As a believer, you have a powerful advantage. Don't go your entire life unaware of who Holy Spirit is. In this three-part series, Demystifying Holy Spirit, Leon cuts through common misbeliefs and shows you how to tap into God's presence.
Hey, everybody. Those who give and have joined us in this love walk of financing this program around the world, they're so special. I'd love to have you join us. For a gift of $30 or more, I want to send you this series on the Holy Spirit and how I learned to become friends with Him and His power in my life.
Receive His guidance, know Holy Spirit personally, and begin to access His miraculous ability and strength like never before. Get your copy of Demystifying Holy Spirit today.
I'm going to challenge you today and say, why don't you start reading the Word of God from this perspective, that He made you and designed you to walk at a level of life far beyond. Paul talks in different verses of things like this. He'll say stuff like, I can't teach you much because you're still in the elementary, the toddler type of teaching. Jesus says to the disciples, I could teach you more, but you can't bear it. It didn't mean it was bad news. It meant they could never understand or function in what He would teach them because they weren't born again. And then He said, but when you get born again, Holy Spirit comes, He's going to lead you into truth, show you all things, and there'll be a whole huge another level for them of exciting living, exciting functioning, fellowshipping with God. I mean, and Jesus said, the things that I do shall you do also. And so we live so far below what is going on. Now, we are His workmanship, and you weren't created just to be a body with a few relationships. You were created to rule and reign with Him. You were created to be the head and not the tail on this planet. You were created that you are more than conquerors. You were created that this is the victory that overcomes the world, not how smart you are or how you figured things out. It's going to be your faith. This word faith and how it is used in context is not talking about faith in your five senses, because there's two kinds of faith. There's faith in the five sense world, which when I get on a jet every time, I have to have faith they built it right. I have to have faith in the guy that maintained it right. I have to have faith in the pilot to fly it right, and etc. These are all faith in the physical world. But there's a second kind of faith that is of the heart. This kind of faith, it begins to bring supernatural ability to health. It's a higher law. And that's why I'm careful calling it a miracle, because if my great grandma was to see a jet go into the air today with 300 people and tons of luggage and people and food and movies and all this, she would just start to scream and think it was demons or something going on, because she could never understand that. It's a miracle. Or if it was good, it's a miracle. But the the laws of the Spirit of life, the laws of the presence of God, and how He's designed your heart, how He's worked your heart into your life, is done in such a way that you can begin to take authority, not just over the devil and the demons, but over the things that need to be formed. When God said in the garden that we are to go forth into this earth to be prosperous, to multiply, Adam was walking in the God kind of faith. We don't have any example. We just think that he was on his knees in the dirt, planting a seed, and that was it. No. Adam could learn to speak to things. Adam knew how. God showed him, taught him. He was a complete being back then who was, his spirit man was alive, and he could literally do things on this planet within the confines and the boundaries of this planet that were stunning. And so that's why it took him 900 years to die, because there are things that are within us we just know nothing about. And the Bible is not teaching us a blind faith that just has faith in God and we don't know anything else. The Bible is teaching principle after principle after principle of how you, who've already been given everything that you need in life, could begin to work the principles. And the law of gravity, which brings anything you throw in the air, is brought crashing to the earth. But when you understand the law of lift and thrust, they supersede the law of gravity. I wonder how, and so when the air blows against a jet wing and the thrust of the jet engines pushing it into it, it brings lift under those wings. I wonder how many laws there are that have not been found yet in the physical world. And then I wonder how many laws there are in the spirit world and within the very heart and makeup of man that as well takes us to entire new levels on this planet. Like, I can't even put into words. Jesus said to his disciples, he said that there's some things I want to show you and tell you, but you can't bear them. In other words, to bear means the ability to hold it, to carry it, to make it work. And you're not going to be able to until you get born again. And so Jesus had to die, had to rise again. And then when he did, with Holy Spirit on the inside, something came awake. Now, let me show it to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And so Paul is talking, and I'm going to just work my way through the word because it's just so apparent once you look at it this way. It says, "And brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything amongst you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." So what did Jesus do when he died? Something woke up when you give your life to Jesus, that it's not been alive in mankind for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. But what woke up? And then now what are the rules governing what Jesus has paid for us to be born again? Born again into what? The same old life? No, you're born again into an overcoming, supernatural, mountain-moving, storm-stopping, body-healing, communion with God type of person that we're just so far below. Then it says, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Now, Paul is talking about just his physical body and his mental status. "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit." He demonstrated how the Spirit in a born-again person could heal people, could stop demonic presence, could reach an entire city for God. He's demonstrating the flow of the Spirit and the power that is in a born-again believer. Now, it doesn't say exactly right here yet what that demonstration looked like, but the whole Bible talks about this demonstration. It says that if you eat any deadly thing, it can't hurt you. That if anything tries to kill you, you walk upon snakes and scorpions and lions. It talks about, it just goes on showing a level of authority, a demonstration of power in this world as a human being that is to be used to advance God's kingdom and to bring the gospel to this world. Now it goes on to say that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. There's a faith that is in men's wisdom, and it's fine, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom. The word perfect means mature. We speak wisdom to those who are mature in the word of God. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we, to God, Paul's talking about him and the other apostles who are now mature in the word, understanding his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension to the right hand of the Father, and what it has done to remake his workmanship, is to be born again into a level that we've never seen before. It says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. He's saying here that there is a wisdom that mankind lost at the fall in the garden, and it's hidden. But to you and I who are born again, now we can bear it. It's no longer hidden from us. You can start the process of renewing your mind, making your body a living sacrifice, understanding the principles that govern all the power of God that's been poured into us because he's in us. It goes on to say, which none of the princes of this world knew. Talking about the enemy. He's talking about fallen angels, devils. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. When they crucified Jesus and he died in our place, and sin was paid for, and we were all able to receive Jesus in our hearts, the Spirit of Christ, a ton of little Jesuses began to walk the planet. And if Satan thought he won when he killed Jesus, and then it spread like throwing water on a grease fire. Just whoosh! All of a sudden, thousands of people, when Peter preached after the day of Pentecost, became born again. And they took the then known world. You could kill them and it wouldn't stop them. They would go out and lay hands on the sick. They would walk into sickness-infested towns where no one else would walk into. And people would be healed or they'd die with them. It didn't matter to them. This incredible thing. If the enemy would have known that this was the secret tactic of bringing mankind back to him, he never would have killed Jesus. And so, but it says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, the deepest things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. I want you to notice that. This Christianity isn't a completely just ask God if he says yes, yes, no, no. That's almost immaturish. No, you need to be seen. It says you need to know the things that are given to you. Until you know, and the Bible says in the book of Peter, he's given you all things. And so when you begin to look that this natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit of God, they're just foolishness. They laugh at something called faith or speaking to situations or people who know how to pray, and entire wars are affected on the planet. Leadership is affected on the planet. And so you need to understand that you are his workmanship, and whatever you've done with your life, that what God can see you doing and what he has prepared for you is so far beyond anything you could fathom when it comes to leadership, influence, finance, career, affecting the planet, winning souls, help taking this his kingdom to advance, because we're still living in this really pathetic, shallow life of being a believer, when literally we are his workmanship. He creates universes. He creates solar systems. He creates gravity. He creates subatomic particles. And he created a human being, and he created them in his class. That doesn't mean that we are equal to God, but we are sons and daughters of God, which means we're in the God class, not the animal class. And so once we learn to see the Word of God through the lens of Holy Spirit showing you and teaching you as your personal coach, to raise you up, then you will begin to demonstrate this new authority and power that works in this planet. It'll take your mind and just ratchet it into incredible peace. When others try to scare you, freak you out, your mind's at peace, locked in. Nothing's going to touch it. When sickness and disease touches others, there is a way for you to be walking health and to take on and remove sickness and disease. And it's not about asking God as though he has to give you permission. This asking him or declaring his works, it's just a stunning thing. And so I want you to read through this whole chapter. The last two verses says that he that is spiritual, he can discern anything. Yet he is not judged by other people. Judged, or he can read, discern, figure things out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. There's some things that I can teach that are taught, and there's some things that are caught. If you are born again and you know there's more, you know there's just something I'm just on the edge of, but I'm not diving in like I want to, listen to this message over and over and read these two portions of Scripture through and through until you begin to get a picture and a revelation of what with God on the inside of you and the way he made you, there's so much more that you're capable of. Keep watching this program. We'd love to have you. If you don't know Jesus, just right now say, Jesus, come into my heart. I give you my life. I'm following you for the rest of my days. Because as I'm teaching, hope is rising up on the inside of you. It's faith. Now just tell Jesus to come into your life. And then keep following. We'll show you and we'll help you to grow in this wonderful life that I'm talking about in today's message of finding out, what in the world are you? Not just who, what in the world are you? And then you're going to realize that you can have the mind of Christ, his emotions, his joy, his peace, the power. He said, the things that I've been doing, you're going to do also. We love you. We'll see you again.
If you just prayed the prayer with Leon, we want to connect with you. Contact us so we can help you with the next steps of this exciting journey. You've been watching Leon Fontaine's The Spirit Contemporary Life. For more episodes or to hear more from Leon, visit leonfontaine.com. If this program is making a difference in your life, consider becoming a partner today. Your giving makes it possible to reach people around the world in multiple languages. And as a thank you, we'll send you this free resource. And don't forget to follow Leon on social media